Good morning.
Good morning.
Lord bless you. Good to see you. Good looking people. Amen. We don't let no ugly people come to this church. We was all ugly at one time. He cleaned us up. Wasn't we? Weren't we all ugly at one time? Oh, I was. Well, go with me, if you would, please, to Matthew chapter 9. And I'm going to begin at verse 18, read through verse number 22. You have it? Would you say amen? While he was saying these things to them, a synagogue official came and bowed down before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come and lay your hand on her and she will live." Jesus got up and began to follow him, and so did his disciples. And a woman who had been suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. For she was saying to herself, "If I only touch his garment, I will get well." But Jesus, turning and seeing her, said, "Daughter, take courage. Your faith has made you well." At once the woman was made well. I won't go any further with that. I was in my study this morning. I was thinking about a song. So I actually sang in a song a little bit. And you're all familiar with it. It is no secret. How many folks remember that song? The chimes of time ring out the news. Another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Remember that? Was that someone you? You may have longed for added strength, your courage to renew. Do not be disheartened. I have news for you. It is no secret that God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do. And an awesome, wonderful song. There is no night, for in his light, you'll never walk alone. You'll always feel at home wherever you may roam. There is no power can conquer you while God is on your side. Take him at his promise. Don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. Amen. The Apostle Paul said that we don't know Christ after the flesh anymore, but at the same time, the Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ was and is the exact expression of God's nature and all that God is. When you study the Gospels, you're actually studying the nature of God. And this is what makes studying the Gospels so wonderful. And that's why we love that scripture that says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And what does that mean? That means what he did for others, he'll do for you. Do you believe that? What he does for others or what he did for others, he'll do for you. The distinguishing mark of a true Christian faith revolves on personal touch. The personal touch of Jesus. John said that in him was life, and the life was the light of man. Now, I've been doing some studies. This will be similar, perhaps. I've been doing some recent studies on how the Bible is a book of stories about encounters with the living God. That's what the Bible's about. It's a storybook. But it's true stories of true encounters from the very beginning to the very end. It's about lives that were touched by interchanges and encounters with the living God. And when you've met Jesus Christ, you have met the living God. And everything in your life is based on this realization. So anything we receive from the Lord is going to be based on a personal touch and an encounter by faith. We're going to talk about that today. Our subject is receiving by faith. Let's pray. Father, we honor your holy name. It is blessed and sacred, and to us it's most sacred, Lord. Thank you for the privilege of gathering together in your name. We recognize your authority, Lord Jesus. You are our Lord and our King and our Redeemer. Our life is from you. All things are from you and through you and to you. What a great pleasure and a privilege to gather, knowing that you're here with us, helping the words to be applied beyond anything the preacher might say, Lord, to our hearts and lives. Help me to minister as I should, Father. Bless all who have gathered here. Thank you for your pulpits in all the world, and bless each church, Lord, that gathers in your name, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you'd like to take notes on the back of your bulletin, this is going to be an interesting area of study. I think it will help you a lot in understanding some issues of faith, some things that I've learned, and some things that are just awesome from the Scriptures. So we're going to go into three areas again. Number one, we're going to talk about the flowing forth of life. The flowing forth of life. Secondly, we're going to talk about the book that speaks. The book that speaks. And thirdly, we're going to talk about taking to yourself. I'm going to explain some words that are used by John that are very important to all of us. So these are the three areas, the flowing forth of life, the book that speaks, and taking to yourself. Now, it's interesting, if you don't have the Hebraic background on what's happening with this lady, sometimes it's hard to appreciate what's really going on. What's the point of touching his garment? If you notice verse number 20, it says, the woman who had been suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his cloak. Now, the fringe of his cloak, it was a garment that the Jewish people had been commanded to wear, the men had been commanded to wear from the time of Moses. And it was kind of like a shawl, basically, but they wore it, and it had four corners. And on the four corners, it had white threads that had been woven down. Now, originally, in the white thread, there was a blue thread. Now, I want to take you back for a moment to Numbers chapter 15. I think you'll appreciate this. Go back to Numbers 15, where God gives the commandment, because this is actually what she was wanting to touch. There was a reason for that. Numbers chapter 15, and look at verse number 37, and I'll read through verse number 41. Now, we're dealing with the flowing forth of life and the idea of touching the fringe or the fringes. Numbers 15, verse 37, the Lord also spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the sons of Israel and tell them that they shall make for themselves tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations, that they shall put on the tassel of each corner a cord of blue. It shall be a tassel for you to look at and remember all the commandments of the Lord, so as to do them and not follow after your own heart and your own eyes. That's a good one, folks. After which you played the harlot, so that you may remember to do all my commandments and be holy to your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. Now, over time, they lost the meaning of the issue of the blue thread, so they actually stopped using it. But originally, the blue was a significance for the throne of glory. It represented the throne of glory. It represented the heavenly life. It represented the lordship of God himself. But they also called these fringes wings. And they began to refer to these fringes as wings. And they made an association of these fringes with God and with his Messiah. And so, if you go to Psalm 91, we're tying together why there was such an issue on wanting to touch the fringes. If you look at Psalm 91, we have some scriptures for you today, folks, but I want you to see them. Psalm 91, let me read the first four verses. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. Now, I want to press it a little further. If you go to Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, there's a statement made in Malachi chapter number 4 as the book begins to close, Malachi 4, verse number 2. This was a messianic. Malachi 4 and 2 said, but for you who fear my name, who reverence my name, who believe in my name, believe in my authority, believe in who I am, you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in its wings. and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stalls. And so the Jewish people began to associate those fringes with the Messiah, with the throne of glory, with the heavenly life, with God. And whenever Jesus came and they wanted to touch his tassels, they were actually appealing to him as being God or somehow being the Messiah. And it was so important. It was their way of recognizing Jesus. Now, stay with me, because in Malachi and not in Matthew chapter 14, you're going to see this develop a little further. Because this wasn't just this woman. Everybody's wanting to touch the fringes, those tassels. They made an association. So if you look at Matthew 14, verse number 34, and verse number 36. Everybody have it? When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place recognized him, they sent word to all that surrounding district and brought to him all who were sick. And they were imploring him that they not just touch the fringe of his cloak. And as many as touched it were cured. Now here's the thinking of the people, because they connected this with the promises of the Old Testament all the way back to Moses. But in their thinking, in their belief, they begin to connect this with God himself, with his wings, with his shadow, with his garments. And when the Messiah came, they believed Malachi was speaking of the healing power of the Messiah. And so that blue thread represented the throne of glory, or it represented the heavenly life. So my point is that you need to understand, God people need to understand, life flows from Jesus. Life flows from Jesus. Wherever Jesus is, there is life. Now we're going to leave the lady for now, but I want to take this over to the new covenant, because we're going to get past the cross into the life that we now live. I've been talking to you. We know that the bodies we have now are not eternal bodies, right? We don't have our eternal bodies yet. You ever notice that? Your hair gets a little gray after a while. You don't all stay like me, tall, dark, and handsome, and strong, and vigorous, and, you know, just loving you folks. But anyway, yet there is a principle of life in the spirit of every person who's born again. It's that very same life that was in Christ. It's a ministering life. That is, it can minister, I say it, Jesus, that life is connected with Jesus. Jesus ministers to your whole world. He ministers to your whole life. And it's important to understand this, because this is where the statement comes in, we become what we believe. Jesus said, as your faith is, so be it unto you. So there's an issue there that we need to understand. But what I want you to understand now, folks, is this. The life that was present in Jesus, which is his life, comes into the heart of a child of God as the life of Christ. That's why Paul said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. That means that there's a principle of life in your earthly body right now. This old body's decaying. Now, we talked about that. It's decaying. It's rotting away. It's going to pass off the scene. The Bible teaches that. Yet inside of every believer is a fountain, is a principle of life, is the power of life that ministers to others and ministers to yourself. And that's why it's so important for us to understand the issue of believing right. If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I want to give you a couple of scriptures that tie in with this, because I really want you to see this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 6 and 7. Everybody have it? For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face or in the presence of Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power be of God, not from ourselves. It's not anything we have. It doesn't belong to our flesh. It can minister to our flesh life. But the power is from God. But we have it in earthen vessels. That life of Christ actually dwells within us. Now, Jesus also talked about that in John chapter 7. I know I'm giving you ample scriptures, but it's so important to see this, because it'll help you. It'll help set your faith properly. If you look at John chapter 7, I'm going to read just a little bit of what happened here. Chapter 7, verse 38 and 39. Now, in what we're fixing to read, Jesus is talking about a new covenant after the cross, day of Pentecost, the church, all believers. Verse 38, he who believes in me. Can I read that part again? Because that's your connector. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. That is, he hadn't went through the cross. He hadn't went into the resurrection, the ascension, wasn't seated yet, hadn't received the kingdom of the beloved Son. After the kingdom was set in place, the day of Pentecost, that glory and that life was poured out in the church and has been in the church in all believers ever since. Every child of God has in their human spirit, in their innermost man, this very life of Jesus Christ. But we don't want to miss the connection. The worst thing you could do is make it a matter of formulas. It is never a matter of formulas or rituals or five steps to anything. The connection's always going to be verse 38, the first part of that verse. He who believes in me. You have to have the Jesus connection right, because life is always going to be an outflow of your relationship with Jesus. Is that of any value? Your life is always going to be an outflow of your connection with Jesus Christ. And this is where we need to see our need, or whether we're ministering to the needs of others. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. I live, nevertheless not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. I'm living by faith in Jesus who is in my life. I am trusting Jesus. It's not me manipulating the forces or causing things to happen or working formulas. My faith is believing in Jesus. And Jesus is in my life. He's in my heart. He's in my life. He surrounds my life. He's in my circumstances. So we have this issue of the flowing forth of life. She wanted to touch his fringes. But in the new covenant, it goes far beyond that. What did Jesus, what were the last words Jesus said to the disciples that we have recorded in Matthew? He said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So what's the problem? It's with our own believing. Faith in Jesus is your connection to the life of God. Faith in Jesus. Faith alone, grace alone, in him alone. And it's always going to be that way. The Bible says you're saved by grace through faith, that not of yourself. You don't make things happen. He makes things happen. He has to be Lord. And he is Lord of our lives. And so, what did he say? He said, daughter, take courage. Your faith has made you well. Your faith in me have made you well. This is where your healing comes from. It wasn't faith in faith. It wasn't faith in what you could do. You had faith in me. And you believe that I am God's Messiah. That I am God revealed. Somehow you believe that. And you said, if I can just touch the shelter of his wings, if I could just come under his wings, I will be made well. Why? Because Malachi promised it. Moses talked about it. David talked about it. All those symbols that were so rich in the Jewish fabric and in their thinking and their consciousness that have been passed down through generation to generation to generation is in the church today. He is our life. He is your life. Is what Paul said in writing the Roman Christians. He is your life. It's not about religion. I heard a gentleman last night. I had a wonderful time. We went out to a thing in that lane name had at Highway 1 Church of God last night. He told me 6:30, but it started at 6. I'm thinking, like, we got there. I thought we was early, and that place was packed. You couldn't hardly get in that place. And that little brother sang from heaven. I mean, he sang heaven down. Glory to God. A wonderful time. He said, God's not coming after your church. He's coming after his church. I like the sound of that. He's not coming after a Baptist church or a charismatic church or a Catholic church or a Methodist church. He's coming after his church. And they're out there. They belong to him. They have his life in them. They've experienced him. They have personal relationship with him. So anyway, this is the idea of the flowing forth. That I wanted you to see from this woman how it works into the new covenant. And he said to her, "Take courage, your faith in me has made you well." It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. With arms wide open, He'll welcome you. There's no secret. Let me bring you to this issue about the book that speaks. And I want to make a strong connection, because you hear me talk about this a lot, but I want you to see the connection. I want to share how the Bible connects to receiving by faith. I never realized the power of the Bible. I always loved it. From the first time I met Jesus, I fell in love with His book. I considered it His book. I think I read the whole Bible through in a matter of probably less than 2 weeks. I couldn't get out of it. I read it at King James Version, and I just read it. I couldn't stop reading. I read it, and I read it, and I read it. Like I needed to be baptized in it or something. But I never realized the power of this book until we were in Los Alamos, New Mexico in 1971. Some of you folks heard me talk about that. We had went there to build a mission church for our denomination. It's a long time ago. Some of you folks may not have been born then. And it was during that time being separated from everybody, my wife and I, and our two sons, that I began to sense something wasn't right. Something wasn't balanced in what we were preaching and teaching. Something wasn't right in what I was believing, what I had been taught to believe. And it bothered me enough to drive me to my knees. And God began to speak to my heart, letting me know that I didn't have the message right. I was a saved man. I was a born-again man. I had actually literally met Jesus Christ. Because you're saved by faith, that out of yourself. You can be screwed up sometimes in your doctrine, folks, still be a saved person. That's where I was. And through that process of time in Los Alamos, New Mexico, that process, I made a quality decision that I wanted God's Word to form itself in my life. I wanted to learn what God meant when He said it. I wanted to learn to live my life by His Word. And what happened then, that became a life-changing moment for me. And it's been an ongoing process, because I begin to realize that this is not just a book. This is a heavenly book. This book came from heaven. It's filled with heavenly life. And that blue thread runs through it. The throne of glory. The heavenly life flows through this book. When you begin to understand that and realize this is the book of the King, from the mouth of the King, from the Lord Himself, you look at it differently. You don't read it like you do a journal or a Gone with the Wind or whatever, some other book you might would like. You don't ever read it that way anymore. You read it like you're listening to the King's voice. God is speaking into your life. The Lord of glory, that blue thread runs, that heavenly life runs through this book. And I begin to find that out. And when you begin to find that out, then it's not just someone saying, read your Bible, read your Bible, read your Bible, so many verses you can read. It becomes a different book. It becomes a great book filled with the life of God Himself. I want you to see some scriptures. Go to Psalm 119. Because I want to make a strong connection here, folks, for you. Psalm 119, verse 89. The whole Psalm 119. Awesome. Verse 89. Now, I want you to listen to the language. Now, before I read this, let me quote a scripture. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Are we listening? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh, and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, let's read. Forever, O Lord, Your Word is settled in heaven. It's a heaven word. Now go to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. We're going to pick up a couple of scriptures in Isaiah that I want you to see. Very important to understand about the book that speaks. You're going to find out why some people are so strong in faith and some people have a lot of struggles. A lot of it has to do with the book itself. Now, Isaiah 55, verse 1, Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Now, why does that sound familiar? Jesus, the Word said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me, and let him drink. He who believes in me, as the Scripture said, from his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. Now, listen carefully. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. I'm going to put you on a level playing field. You can get words from me. And it won't cost you anything but just your faith and just believing in me. I want to talk into you and I want to speak into your life. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. I'd like to read all that, but I'm not going to. Drop down to verse number 10. As for the rain and snow, for as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Every word that God sends into your life is going to accomplish the purpose that God sent it. It's His word, not your word. And it's going to accomplish whatever God sends into your heart, into your life. God's going to accomplish that. Now go back to Isaiah 29. We're going to connect another one here. Isaiah 29. And drop down, if you would, to please, verse number 18 and 19. On that day, the deaf will hear words of a book. And out of their gloom and darkness, the eyes of the blind will see. The afflicted will also increase their gladness in the Lord. And the needy of mankind will rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. Do you see it? Somewhere a book's going to start talking. Somewhere God's going to speak from the pages of His Holy Word. And you're going to realize that it comes from the throne of glory. And that God's speaking into your life. And His heavenly life that's being given to you. And when God speaks into your life, the affliction leaves. The cloudiness is broken. The joy of the Lord comes into your heart. And God says, I will accomplish whatever I am speaking into your life. Do you see that? That blue thread represents throne life. And this is where we have to be real careful. Some of the earlier charismatic teaching that went astray, because they did the same thing the Pharisees. If you're not careful, you'll do the same thing the Pharisees did. What did the Pharisees do? Let's look at it scripturally. Go to John chapter 5. Because we want to make sure we don't lose our connection. John chapter 5, and listen carefully to the language. Now, John chapter 5. I want to read verse 24 and 25, and then we'll drop down to verse 38. Everybody have it. Okay, verse 24. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has, as present possession, has right now what? Eternal life. And does not ever come into judgment, what it means in the Greek, but has passed out of what? Death into life. What did it say in Isaiah? The deaf will hear words of a book. Here he's talking about that message. And they will pass out of death into life. Look at verse number 38. Now here was the problem. He's talking to these Pharisees. You do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe him whom he has sent. You do not believe me. You do not believe Jesus. God sent me. My father sent me. Verse 38. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me. And you are unwilling to come to me so that you may have life. Do you see it? It's not simply the book itself. It's the voice in the book. It's Jesus speaking from the book that produces life in the child of God. Whatever your need may be. The book has a blue thread running through it. It's the throne of glory book. It's the heavenly book. Now, you younger folks haven't heard me talk about this, but a lot of you older folks have. 1965, young preacher, sitting in a church, a little Pentecostal church, in Sharp, Louisiana. My grandparents went and our family went. Sitting on the front pew, second to the front row, please. Brother Kraft's preaching. It's the first time I ever had a vision. I literally had a vision because I was facing a choice at that time about a job I could take, decisions I need to make. And in the vision, God opened up the vision and He told me, this is what you can have. And He wasn't rebuking me about this. I'm telling you the truth, folks. I bear witness to this. I shared it with my wife that very night. And He showed me beautiful homes, beautiful cars. There wasn't nothing wrong with that. I think God wants His people to be blessed. I don't have a problem with that, folks. He showed me all that. He said, you could have that if you want. He's going to let me make a choice. The throne of glory, the Father of heaven, the Lord of glory is going to let me make a choice. He gave me a right to make a choice. He authorized me to choose. Then I heard Him say, or, and out of heaven floated an open Bible. You can preach my word. He made no promises about preaching His word. He said, or you can preach my word. And when I came out of the vision, I was crying. I'm not sure. My shirt was wet. And I was saying, Lord, I want to preach your word. I don't care about these other things. I want to preach your word. I found out that the word is Him. I can preach Him. And He's in that Bible, and that Bible is alive. And He wants us to be messengers of Him. And He wants us to speak from the throne of glory. And He wants to speak what He puts into our hearts and into our lives. And it's all right to be blessed with prosperity. I think it's good, personally. As long as it's not something that consumes you, it's vitally important to you. When Jesus becomes the vital issue of your life, in my opinion, you've arrived where you need to be. Then He can work in your life in a great way. You see, the book has a blue thread running through it. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He's going to do for you. Can you say amen? You say, well, what does this have to do with receiving by faith? It has everything to do. You cannot receive something that's not given to you. If it's not given to you, you can't receive it. And this is what I want us to understand, is that this is where your faith comes from. Jesus speaks the promise in your heart. Jesus communicates with you. God, He shares with you from the throne things for your life. That's what we need. We are children of the throne. We have authority and rights as God's children to come to the throne. And this is where our faith comes from. And the more you key in on the book, this is the point. The more you key in on the book, the more you will distinguish the voice of the Lord. The Bible teaches us to know the voice of God, to know the ways of the Lord. And the more you stay with the book, the more you'll be able to distinguish His voice when He's speaking to you outside the book. Because you will already know in your heart, God will never invalidate something that He said in His Word. He's not going to give you some kind of instruction that runs contrary to the Word, to the written Word of God. This book came from heaven. It's forever settled. And it doesn't mean we understand everything that's written in it. But He's not going to speak into your life anything that's contrary to what has been given to us. But you begin to learn that by faith. And so, what does the book tell us to do? What does the living Word that came from heaven tell us to do? Seek first the kingdom of God. Don't seek for yourself all these other things. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added to you. Whatever you need, your Father knows, will be added to your life. Put Him first. Let Him be Lord of your life. You answer to Him. You respond to Him. You hear from Him. And so we have an awesome thing here. You know, I think when we were evangelists, I think this is where it really started coming alive to me. I told you about the Lord baptizing me. I'm using the word baptize me into His Word. Been that way ever since. But we were evangelists. We averaged $50 a week, folks. We didn't make much money. Shanna wasn't born then, just my two boys. We traveled, we were in services. Our shortest revival, we don't do this anymore. But back then, our revivals, we had 2-week revival up to 5-week revivals. Just preaching our hearts out in service every night. Making very little money. But you got to learn something about God. You got to learn Him in the trial. You got to learn Him in the wilderness. You got to learn about Him. That's where you really learn Him. That's where you learn how He's Lord of your life. You don't have all the answers. You need answers. We had a revival. A presbyter from Odessa, Texas, called me and asked me to come hold him a revival. My car was broke down. My transmission was gone. I didn't want to tell him that. He might would have sent me. I just couldn't do it. I didn't want to tell anybody. I wanted to tell my father. I said, "Brother, let me pray." Next morning, Betty and my two boys, we got on our knees and we prayed. I said, "Father, you know what our need is." And the blue thread spoke to me from the throne of glory, and he says, "You have $300 in the mail." I'm telling you the truth. I told my wife and boys what God just told me. I ran down to the post office. There was a check in there for $333. But God told me $300. He wanted me to learn to tithe. He wanted me to learn how to honor Him with first fruits in my life. We were coming back from another revival. No money. Between Houston and Lake Charles, we lived in Lake Charles, we were coming back. I didn't know how we were going to get home. We were running on gas fumes. God kept gas in that car. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. And God spoke to me and said, "You've got $100 in the mail." He said it again. I told my wife, I said, "We got $100 in the mail." And we drove into Lake Charles, went out to the post office, wasn't anything in the post office, went out of the house, looked in our mailbox, wasn't anything in the mailbox. I said, "Oh, no, don't tell me." Walked in the house, and on our kitchen table was an envelope. See, my cousin's wife had come over to wash her clothes, and she checked her mail and put the mail on the table. There was a check for $100. Now, I'm going to tell you another one without mentioning any names. This ministry didn't start because somebody just wanted to start a ministry, folks. You know the story. I won't get into all that. One day I'm driving down Military Highway. This is when we were in the old Winnick Company building. And God stops me and speaks to me. And He says, "You're going to live here. This is going to belong to you." I didn't know which house it was. I ran home. I got my wife, Betty. I said, "Bunny, come here. I got to show you something." We drove back down Military Highway. I said, "God says we're going to live here. This is going to become ours." The point was, there was a gift of property that was given to Christian Challenge from there. I'm not trying to brag. I'm not. Just forgive me, folks. I'm just telling you about me. You had it happen to you, haven't you? And we lived on that property. It was a gift that was given to the ministry. And that's how we were able to begin doing something. It is no secret what God can do. We weren't trying to work formulas. The blue thread runs through His Word, and it's the throne of glory. It's the heavenly life, and He spoke into our life. And this is what I want you to hear, and I want you to see today as a child of God, to understand this issue of the book that speaks into our hearts and into our lives. Amen. Let me bring you to the third area. And this is where receiving by faith becomes a reality. I'm going to explain some terms. Think about taking to yourself. In the Bible, in the New Covenant especially, the word receive in Scripture and the word believe belong together. They are actually kindred terms. They mean something a little different, but they're kindred terms when it comes to faith. Now, if you go to John chapter 1, I want you to listen carefully to a scripture, because this is going to nail down some things about taking, receiving by faith, taking to yourself. John 1, verse number 10. And listen very carefully, because I want to explain some words to you here. Verse 10 says, "He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and those who were His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name, in His authority." Now, the word receive is the Greek word lambano, and it literally means to take a hold of something, to take hold of it, to take it to yourself. It's a very strong word. You take it to yourself. And the word believe, pisteuo, in the Greek, means to be firmly persuaded, full expectation. It means to believe into. There's one more word I want you to see. Listen to verse 12 again. But as many as Lambano took him to themselves, to them he gave the exousia, the right. The exousia means the authority. God gave you the authority. To become children of God, even to those who believe in His authority or believe in His name. Now listen carefully, folks. The word exousia means authorization. God has authorized you because you have believed in Jesus and you have taken Him to yourself. You have become an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. God has authorized you to receive promises from the throne of glory. God has authorized you to take to yourself and to believe into these promises. It's very personal. He has authorized you to receive the promises that He has given. Exousia. And this extends to anything that God has said that He gives you. Now, if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, you'll see where Paul nails this down. There's a reason I'm sharing this with you, folks. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. Listen carefully, because remember, we're talking about taking to yourself as many as received Him, that is, they laid hold of Him, took Him to themselves. When you become a saved person, you've taken Jesus, brother. He's offered Himself to you, and you've taken Him. And you believe, you have trusted and relied on Him. You believe into Him. You bonded with Him. And He has authorized you not only to be born again, but listen to this language. 2 Corinthians 1, 18. But as God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Christ Jesus, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but it is yes in Him. For as many as are the promises of God, in Him they are yes. Therefore also through Him is our amen to the glory of God through us. Did you hear the language? You have been authorized as a child of God through the blue thread of redemption. The red thread, if you want to call it that. The blue thread, the throne of glory. This is why Hebrews tells us, if you want to kind of nail this down, if you go to Hebrews chapter 4, it adds more to this. Hebrews chapter 4. I want you to listen carefully to this, because we're dealing with authorization, extends to the promises of God. You just have to distinguish where the promise applies. Some are for future glory and so forth. And you, of course, you need a caution there. But if you listen to Hebrews 4, verse number 12, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Do you notice it says here the Word of God deals with the total of your life, your soul, your spirit, your joints and your marrow, where your blood system is brought forth, the healing of your life, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart, that if God's Word gets in there and helps, rearranges us in a holy way, in a pure way, in a good way, He rearranges our thoughts. It says there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes with whom we have to do. That's not a scary scripture. That's a promise scripture. But let's not finish here. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Now, verse 13 is the key. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of glory, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. All these things that we're reading are telling us something personal. You draw near to the throne of glory, which is the throne of Jesus. The promises He places in your heart are promises He knows that you need, that He wants you to have, that'll wake up your life, that'll correct your life, that'll heal your life. These things are all very, very personal. You know, it has to become personal to us. Unless it becomes personal, it's of no value. You know, I know people mock the thing about name it, claim it, frame it, which is not a good thing to say. I mean, there was elements of truth in that, but that phrase is really a terrible thing because it has to become personal. And you've heard me talk about this. I want to read a statement that I have. See, I do keep a prayer journal. And here's a statement that I have in the front of my journal to remind me of something. You may want to remember this or even write this down. I put it in front of my journal. I can look at it. It's what I wrote was, pray with the understanding that God's answers come from God's perspective. They are not always in harmony with our expectations, for only He knows the whole story. Don't miss God's answers because of failure to consider any possible answer other than the one you want. Does that make any sense? We want to regulate the throne of God. We want to tell Him how to do everything exactly, what needs to be done, how I want Him to do it. And if we do that, we're missing a great expression of faith and a great expression of how God works in our lives. God's going to go far beyond your expectations. Anything you ever desired, hoped, or dreamed, He goes far beyond that in dealing with your life through His Word and answering your prayers. Anybody writing that down? I'll be glad to read it again if you want to get it. Pray with the understanding that God's answers come from God's perspective. They are not always in harmony with our expectations, for only He knows the whole story. And we folk know, we usually don't know very much. We pray with our little sphere what we want to happen, but God knows the whole story. Aren't you glad? That's why He can be so merciful. Don't miss God's answers because of failure to consider any possible answer other than the one you want. For whatever worth that is, folks, I just wanted you to let you have that. The point is, Jesus is the Lord of the promise. You see, when He gave me that vision, He gave me a choice. A lot of times He's going to give you a choice. A lot of times He'll say, you can do either one's fine. But the point is, receiving by faith is personal communication. It's always personal between you and the Lord. It's always going to be. It has always been that way. And you know, I wish I knew how to say this, but I'm just going to go ahead and say it. There comes a time in your life where you have to stop depending on everybody else. Now, when you're a young Christian, you need to. You ought to be doing that. And we are supposed to pray for other folks. But folks, you can have a million people praying for you, but if it don't become personal with you, it's probably not going to happen. Yeah. It's between you and God. Now, we can brace one another up and encourage one another and maybe help increase faith with one in our communication and all of our, and we ought to pray, and we do pray for others. My point, though, is that it has to become personal. Right? And until it becomes personal, you're not going to have a true faith victory in your life. That's why somebody just anointing you with oil or praying for you may not always work. Why? Because you think that that's going to do it. There's got to be something in the heart. There's got to be taking a hold for yourself. There's got to be believing for yourself. And we're supposed to anoint with oil. And we're supposed to pray for the sick or whatever. But that never takes away from the fact that God wants us to have faith and believe in Him and receive to ourselves and let Him speak into our life. Is this worth anything, folks? How important it is. You know, this is why the preaching of personal relationship with Jesus Christ is so important. When you get away from that personal relationship, you start getting into bad and unhealthy teaching. Okay, I'm going to bring it to a close here. The lady with the issue. There was a great crowd of people around Jesus, only she was healed in that instance. Other cases, many people were. But only she was in that case. When you come for prayer, you have to receive. When you want something from the Lord, you come to Him, you have to receive it. You see, it's nice, folks, to gather together in all of our churches on Sunday morning and listen to a sermonette or preaching or a teaching and think that that's made our week. Well, no. But we need to talk to the Lord daily. And every morning, ask Him to guide us and lead us to do what He wants in our life. We call Him Lord. Jesus said, "Why call me Lord if you're not going to do what I'm saying?" He said, there's going to be people standing before me when they're going to say, "Lord, Lord, didn't we cast out devils in your name? Didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do mighty works? Didn't we prophesy in your name?" He said, "I never knew you. I was never your Lord. You were doing all these things on your own." He needs to be Lord of your life. Folks, that's not a scary thing. He covers you with His wings. He covers you with His love. He covers you with His presence. And there are many times that He's going to speak sovereignty in your life many more times than you would ever expect. Because there's going to be times when you're so weak, you don't know what to do, you don't know how to pray. He's just going to speak to you. You ever had that happen? I mean, you don't know the rules. You don't know the steps. And you just can't do anything. And you're depressed. And you don't want to get out of bed. Everything's crumbling down around you. You don't know what to do. God knows what to do. You see, when God speaks, things happen. And He said, "When I send my word, it will accomplish that for which I have sent it." And you've had it many times in your life. God spoke beyond your circumstances and brought victory in your life. Jesus said, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." He said, "Daughter, take courage. Your faith has made you well." One last scripture and I'll close. Matthew chapter 6. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. The Bible says He's no respecter of persons. You need to hold fast to that, folks. Whatever your situation is, He's no respecter of persons. What He did for others, He'll do for you. You just have to do it the same way. Jesus is trying to share this with the disciples. Listen as we close this part of my ministry. Verse number 6-7. "But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who's in secret." How many folks know it's good to have group prayer? But there's special kind of prayer, not group prayer. Not even husband and wife praying together. This is husband going by himself. This is wife going by herself. God says, "I want you to learn how to do this. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you're praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose they will be heard for their many words." The louder, the longer, the more attention I must get from heaven. No, God says no. That's not how your Father is. Go into your inner room by yourself and just talk to me. How is He going to reward you? I'm going to give you answers. People are going to know something's happening in your life. I'm going to give you answers. I'm going to reward you. How will you reward you? I'll give you a promise. I'll give you whatever you need. I know what you need before you ask me. I just want you to come and talk to me. I'm going to help you out. Don't you love Jesus? Have I taught you anything today you didn't know? Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe I just rekindled a little bit in your heart. Maybe the Holy Spirit just rekindled a little bit. Because one thing I didn't say to you, in this issue of the issue of faith, sanctified faith, folks, always has the witness of the Holy Spirit on it. Right? When God gives you something from His throne, it's sanctified. That means it's filled with His own breath. It's filled with His heart. You know it came from God. His Spirit testifies to your spirit that you are a child of God. His Spirit will testify to your spirit about anything in your life. And you'll always have that testimony inside of you. And God wants us to learn to live with it. Amen. Well, I'm going to quit. I ran out of things to say. I'll start rambling now. Let's see. I wish I had Gail sing that song. It is no secret. I know you know it, sister, what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do for you. How many folks know that? Listen, when God gives you a choice, and He says you can have all this, I'm not going to tell you what to do. But if you have a Bible float down in front of you, I recommend that you choose the Bible. I would encourage you. Because when it's all said and done, all that stuff you've accumulated, you're not going to take it with you. Ladies, gentlemen, somebody's going to be using your slippers, smoking your pipe, sitting in front of your fireplace, married to your wife, enjoying your money. You can't take it with you, but somebody's going to have it. And they're going to care about it like you do. They're just going to spend it.
After I'm gone,
you can have it. Right. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Faith speaks in your heart. Faith speaks in your heart. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless your holy name. Thank you for the memories. Thank you for life. Thank you for that which is no secret. But it is a great secret we can learn, that we can do all things through you. You speak strength into our lives. Thank you, Father. How we honor you and praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen.